Now will you turn with me, please, to the passage that we read together, Hebrews chapter 10. And I'd like us to centre our thoughts this evening around the significance of the first three words of verse 12. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, "But this man." And of course, they mean make no sense at all, just like that. But you'll see why I want to concentrate on these words as we go through what I have to say. Now, I think you know why the letter to the Hebrews was written. It's called that because it was written specifically to Jewish Christians, people who had left the religion of Judaism, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and they were part of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you read the Acts of the Apostles, you will learn that they had a very rough time at the hands of the Pharisees, at the hands of Saul of Tarsus, who eventually became the Apostle Paul, at their families, at the hands of their families. Those who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ were severely persecuted and ridiculed. And so they were tempted to go back, to lapse into the comfort and the security of the worship and the religion that they'd had as from their childhood. And there's a reference to that in the verses following where we finished our reading, in verse 26. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but rather a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries." And then the writer urges them to recall the early days of their service of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the passage finishes with, "For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul." They were tempted to draw back. They were warned, being warned of the consequences of drawing back from the gospel and going back into Judaism. But the writer says, "I don't believe that you are like this. I believe that you truly belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will keep you." And they will go on and believe to the saving of their souls. But that's the background. And they were in danger of lapsing back into the rituals, the sacrifices, the splendor of the temple, and the richness of the clothes of the priests, especially the high priest. It was all a spectacle, and it was appointed by God. But it was not the way to salvation. It was a pointer to that way. And if they left the reality, they would go back into the shadows. And not only would they lose the joy of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, they would lose their own souls. And this was the background, the danger of going back. And what was it that they were going back to? Well, they were going back to an imperfect priesthood. Listen to what he says. "And every priest," that is the priest in the temple, the priests under the old dispensation of the law, every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And the writer here emphasizes the imperfection of Moses, the law, the imperfection of the Aaronic priesthood. Every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. What a catalogue of the imperfection of the Old Testament priesthood. Their work, the priest was standing daily. His work was never finished. He was always there standing, offering repeatedly, day by day, one sacrifice after another. An animal was slain, its blood was shed, and then the next day the animals had to be slain and their blood shed, over and over again for hundreds and hundreds of years. What was the point of it all? Well, it was a pointer to the need for the shedding of blood for the remission of sins. But it was only a picture. And the sacrifices were repeatedly offered, the same sacrifices. And the writer says here, they could never take away sins. Why do it then? Why were the priests commanded to do this, which was so futile? Well, the thing is, it was futile in and of itself, but it was ordained by God through Moses as a picture of the one who was to come, of the salvation which the Lord would bring about in the fullness of time. And so those Jews who saw through this and saw the fact that it was a pointer, it was a sign, those Jews who saw that and believed in the one who was to come, they were saved by the promise of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was to be shed. But their sins, they were reminded of them day by day by the continued sacrifices. And the Old Covenant was designed by God to be imperfect, to be incomplete, emphasizing the need for something better. And so the writer, in these few words, he emphasizes this, and then he says, but this man, that is, not the priest, not the high priest, there were many of them, but there was this one man, this Lord Jesus Christ, and he was the one who fulfilled it all. And we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is depicted here as the perfect priest offering the perfect sacrifice. In the Old Covenant, the priests slew the animals and offered the sacrifices. But in the Lord Jesus Christ, he was both the priest and the sacrifice, because he offered himself. The Lord Jesus Christ is the perfect priest offering the perfect sacrifice. Now, what was required of the sacrifices in the Old Testament? The animals had to be without blemish. They had to be whole and good, without any imperfections in them. And that was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, have you ever wondered why he lived those 33 years, and why 30 of those years are in almost total darkness as far as the revelation of them is concerned? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ lived as, and he became, he was, and he grew up to be a perfect man. So that at the day of his baptism, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was baptized, the heavens opened, the Spirit in bodily form descended upon him, and a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And that was not the only attestation. On the Mount of Transfiguration, the three disciples that were taken with the Lord to see his glory, the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." And those years of secrecy, the Lord Jesus Christ was a perfect child. He was a perfect youth. He was a perfect young man. He was a perfect Savior. And so much so that he was able to say to his opponents, "Which of you convinces me of sin?" And he lived those years learning obedience and becoming the perfect sacrifice. And then his work was crammed into 3 short years where he taught the Father's will, he taught why he came, and it culminated in that great work that he did upon the cross. And it wasn't his life which saves us. His life was his perfection, so that when he was offered upon the cross, he was a perfect sacrifice, like the perfect animals. He was the fulfillment of that. And when he offered himself upon the cross, it was his death which saved his people, and which saves his people. So the Lord Jesus Christ, but this man, and he was the one who fulfilled all the pictures, all the types in the ceremonial law. And the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled the perfection of the animals that had to be without blemish. The Lord Jesus Christ was without spot, without sin, and he was upright in all his ways. And we see that in the earlier part of the chapter, where the writer says, "Sacrifice and offering, burnt offerings and offerings for sin, you did not desire, nor had pleasure in them." But the Lord in this psalm says, "You have prepared a body for me. Behold, I come to do your will, O God." And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ came to do with the body which had been prepared for him by the Father. So the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, he was first of all a perfect sacrifice. He was holy. He was the one who was worthy to be offered up to God in the place of sinners. But then we see in the verse that we're looking at the contrast between the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did. The contrast between the Old Testament priest and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that they stood ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. And so every priest, there were loads of them over hundreds of years, every priest did this. But this man, the one priest, he was the priest, the true high priest. They offered repeated sacrifices. The Lord Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself. and it was an effectual sacrifice. He died in the place of sinners, and our sins were laid upon him. And in his offering of himself upon the cross, he performed that one, what the Apostle Paul called the righteous act of one, dying in the place of many. Repeated sacrifices in the Old Testament, one sacrifice in the Lord Jesus Christ. But then these repeated sacrifices, what does it say about them? They could never take away sins. They were impotent to do so. They were only animals that had been killed. They couldn't do it. But the Lord Jesus Christ's sacrifice, when he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And so Christ's one sacrifice of himself covered your sins, my sins, the sins of every generation that has believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, covered the sins of everyone who will believe in him till the end of time. One sacrifice. And that's why it was the one who had a body prepared for him to come. The Holy Son of God. He was the only one who could completely fulfill this task. He was the only one who could bear away sin in his own person. Those sacrifices could never take away sin. But the Lord Jesus Christ offered one sacrifice for sins forever. And then, what did the Lord Jesus Christ do? Well, he died, he offered himself, he was raised from the dead, he ascended into glory, and he sat down at the right hand of God. Every priest stands ministering daily in the temple. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He sat down because his work was done. Which work? Well, the work of the offering of his sacrifice, the work of dying in the place of sinners. He is at the right hand of God. He's not inactive. He's not sitting down at rest. He is upholding all things by the word of his power. He is ruling. He is the head of the church. But as far as the work of sacrifice is concerned, it's over. It's finished. He has sat down. He has completed the work that he came to do. So you see, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he was the utter antithesis of everything that the priest stood for. If his sacrifice was looked at in and of itself, if the Jews believed in what the priest was doing without seeing the reality beyond it, it was all futile. And in and of themselves, we've just read that the Lord did not take pleasure in those sacrifices, but the Lord Jesus Christ came to do God's will. So we have a better sacrifice, we have a perfect sacrifice, we have one sacrifice. Now I want us to consider the perfection of his work, because we read that having sat down, he is at the Father's right hand, waiting till his enemies are made his footstool. Christ has offered himself on behalf of his people. And down through the centuries, the work is going on through the preaching of the gospel for sinners to be gathered in. You and I, if we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, are part of that great work. We are here as the Lord's people because the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting till all his enemies shall be made his footstool. Those who are his enemies, when he comes again, they will be forced to bow. But remember, you and I, we were enemies of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by his love and by his mercy, by the work of his Spirit, we were convicted of our sins. Our eyes were opened, and we were brought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to trust him. And we do so because he was sitting, waiting till this enemy and that enemy would bow before him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, when everyone has been gathered in, he will arise and he will come again with all his saints, and we will be gathered to be with him. So the Lord Jesus Christ, he did this work. He is seated at the Father's right hand. He is ruling in glory, waiting as the Holy Spirit is at work in the world. And the Holy Spirit has come from the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Lord said, I will send you another comforter in my place. And when the Holy Spirit is at work, Christ is at work, because he is doing the work of the Son. So his work is mighty. His work is glorious. But what did he do by that one offering? Well, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified, or the ones sanctified. It is through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ that everyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ is perfected forever. What does that mean, perfected? Well, the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ is imputed to us when God looks upon you and me. If we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he sees the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ, by his work upon the cross, purchased salvation for the likes of you and me. And we are given that salvation, and we are perfected. The Lord looks upon us, and what does he see? He doesn't see our sins. He sees the righteousness, the holiness, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are individuals here this evening, but the Lord looks down, and each one, he sees the righteousness, the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, if we trust in him. And so this one offering, which is such a contrast to the many offerings, by it the Lord Jesus Christ has perfected those who are sanctified, those who have been saved by grace, and he has perfected them forever. And he emphasizes this by this quotation from Jeremiah. He says that in the new covenant, in gospel days, I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. And in other words, he gives us new hearts. But the thing which is the emphasis here, and then he adds, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. And that is the privilege of every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, that when God looks upon us, our sins have been laid upon Christ, and they have been forgiven, and the Lord will remember them no more. He will put them out of his mind. He has done so. And when he looks upon us, difficult as this is to understand and appreciate, that we, in all our imperfections, in all our disobedience, and in all our half-heartedness, the Lord looks upon us and he sees us as those who have been perfected through the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has done that forever. He will keep us. In our imperfections, each day as we lament our pitiful performance, he will keep us. And he looks down upon us and he says, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. No wonder that paragraph ends with, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. There isn't an offering because the offering has been made. That's why those in Roman Catholics and High Anglicans who make the Mass a re-offering of Christ's body, it's nonsense. It is utterly, utterly ridiculous to think that a wafer could be a re-offering of the body of Christ when he was once for all offered upon the cross. And that's why we preach Christ and him crucified, because it is through Christ that we have access to God. It is through Christ that our sins are forgiven, and it is through Christ that God says to us, your sins and your lawless deeds I will remember no more. Can we take that? Can we rest upon it? You know, the evil one will seek to make us doubt it. No, not me. I have been too inconsistent. Yes, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, but surely there will be some doubt. No, where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. And their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Now that is good news. And that's why we preach Christ and him crucified. Because this is the only truth, it is the only message which offers to sinners complete forgiveness of sins. This is the only message which offers total forgiveness for our sins to be taken away through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every other religion, every other version or distortion of Christianity offers you a way, offers you a set of activities, offers you something or other that you must do in order to be possibly accepted at last. But in the gospel, we're accepted now. We're cleansed and we have been perfected forever, so that we do not have our sins condemning us. I don't say we don't have our sins. We do. But it is like Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ when the Lord offered to wash his feet, and Peter objected, and the Lord said, well, I must wash your feet, otherwise you have no part in me. And the Lord said, Peter said to the Lord, wash me entirely. And the Lord said, you are washed, but you need daily to wash your feet. And we need to confess our sins. But there is no condemnation. No condemnation for the Lord's people. And if we can receive that, if we can rest upon it, then we would see what folly it would be for us to go back. What folly it was for these Hebrew Christians to be tempted to go back. Because, Simon was saying this morning, the worst that can happen if we are resisted is that we could be killed. The worst that could happen is that we would go to be the Lord, to be with the Lord. But we should fear the Lord. Because unless we believe in him, he can send us to dreadful punishment. But when we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can come to no harm at all, whatever we go through, because we have been perfected by one sacrifice for sins forever. The evil one is always tempting God's people to water down what Christ has done, particularly the sufficiency of his sacrifice. Remember these words: their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. Free forgiveness in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May God enable us, everyone, to believe that and to be reassured by that if we have doubts about ourselves, which we do often from time to time. Let us be reassured that the Lord loves us and he has forgiven our sins and he will not remember them. He will never bring them to our charge. He will never charge us with them ever again. What a gospel we have. Amen.